Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode 37. Gavin Zuklinski is the founder of Acuity Scheduling, the slickest way for businesses to automate and manage their appointments online, allowing clients to schedule themselves. Gavin is a self-professed tech geek and espresso maniac, a word he does not use lightly, who wholeheartedly believes that business should be fun. Gavin Zuklinski, what a pleasure to have you here. Hi.
Hey, thank you for having me on here.
It's so great, and I'm so happy you are here. I just shared with our audience what you've done until now, and I would like you to share with us what you are doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Yeah, so absolutely. Acuity Scheduling is my baby. So we're helping, you know, small businesses all around the world offer and manage appointments online. And there is still so much that we're looking to do with that. So it's one of those things that, you know, you start to look at and you think, oh man, that's got to be so simple. And then once you dive in, it just turns out to be incredibly complex once you learn how people are using it and everything else. Because it's more than just, you know, taking an appointment and figuring out a good time. That's like a glorified contact form. Where we're going with it is trying to help it so that you as the business owner can just show up and all your clients are arriving with you, handling all the logistics that go around the appointments to make it as simple as possible and, you know, get rid of that whole rigmarole that goes along with it. So that way, when clients book their appointments, they can figure out a good time, fill out any intake forms, pay for their appointment, get all the information that they need. You can set it up so that you remind them in advance. So you can set up like a little drip series of reminders to tell them a week in advance, hey, you got an appointment coming up. Like, don't forget to do X, Y, and Z. Hey, you got an appointment in a couple days. By the way, make sure you, you fast before your appointment, or make sure that you have a good microphone handy, and then let them know right beforehand to follow up automatically afterwards that you can get people to rebook with you and give them all the information that they need. So it's a lot more than just, you know, figuring out a good time that's available. And it's helping somebody run their business a little bit more smoothly. So there's a lot to go in with that, and still a ton that we're working on for the future to make it even smoother.
You know, it's always so complicated because on one hand, we want it to really be the best tool for the person who uses that, and we want to add as much as possible, and on the other, it must be simple. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that quite a lot of startups are actually finding themselves in the middle, because as much as you put in it, it's perhaps not as smooth as it can be.
Yeah, exactly. And that's totally the line to balance too. Because we're not trying to be the most basic, smoothest thing. Although we're trying to make things as easy as possible, we want to make sure that that's not sacrificing the power that goes along with it. So that I personally feel that when it comes to appointment scheduling, that's something so dear to the core of many businesses. And our best consumers are the ones whose day-to-day revolves around appointments. So we want to give them the flexibility to, you know, model the business how they operate and customize it for how they are. So it's really treading the line right in the middle of that by giving them as much power as possible, but trying to make it as simple as possible. One of the worst things for usability is when somebody just can't use the software how they're looking to and how it works in their business. And we don't want to force them into a model that we decree. We want them to be able to customize Acuity and have it fit perfectly into how their business works. So that's something that we're constantly improving, and that's something that is probably like the biggest part and comes down into feedback cycles and our development process and how we've structured a whole company to be able to quickly and rapidly get feedback from people and turn it into, you know, a product and changes inside of the product.
And I can totally tell that you are very passionate about it. It's great to hear. It's great to hear because, you know, as a customer of such a tool, it's great to hear that you care so much and that you think of the customer, which is what marketing is all about and what this podcast is all about seeing things from the point of view of the customers because, you know, the money is always in his pocket. But I wanted to ask you, where are you heading? Are you just continuing? What do you see coming within the, I don't know, next 2 years?
Yeah, so it's definitely been part of the evolution of Acuity. Like when I first got started, it was built for my mom, a massage therapist. And honestly, I didn't think that the amount
really?
Of people that, yeah. So it was built for somebody very close to me. And at the time, I didn't think that the amount of people using meeting scheduling would be that great. So from the very beginning, I was just like, oh, if you need to, you know, schedule appointments, Acuity is great. And then over time, I realized, wow, there's a lot of people that need this. So we've had to continually focus down. So we've been coming to just, you know, businesses who days to day revolves around appointments. And I think coming in the future, we'll be trying to focus more on those specific use cases that we're seeing come around. And it's not specific industries so much as it is people doing things like one-on-one versus classes and making each of those types of use cases much, much simpler, or doing bookings for resources and equipments and that type of thing versus any particular industry. So those are things that we're constantly going about. And actually, I think some of the most interesting parts coming up are what you sort of hinted on before. It's this balance between complexity and flexibility. So we want to make things as easy as possible for people. And there are some parts of the software that are the most complex that we're trying to make a lot of innovations as far as the user experience goes. And we have fantastic ways to set availability that's much more natural than I've seen in many other places. And it's something that we're going to be continuing to improve. But we've got a few things that we're working on as far as research projects to, you know, like more intelligently try to schedule, get forced like hint to people to schedule throughout your day so that you can optimize your schedule automatically and, you know, cluster things together automatically so that we can provide, you know, models to help you work a little bit more efficiently and not just have appointments scattered throughout your day. And we're going to be releasing a bunch of fun things with that over the next couple of months. And I definitely see that as something, a path that's really just at the beginning too, of taking it from where it's just this thing where you set all the rules to something where it can be a little bit more intelligent and try to figure out the goals of your business and optimize your schedule based off of that. So you have to do even less thinking too.
Sure. Can you just say a few words about your career, how it started or this company, just that we know where does all this come from?
Oh, yeah. And my career started out far away from what this is. So my background was in mathematics, but my career has always been actually, I worked with the government doing very, very technical work. And Acuity was a side project. It was something where I was a developer and worked on things quite unrelated to the type of development that I did with Acuity. But it was a side project because it let me have, you know, a little bit of more of a creative outlet. And I love building things and seeing customers create them. So Acuity was created around 2006, 2007-ish for my mom. She's a massage therapist. But during that time...
It's a real story. You don't say just my mom that we will talk about anyone that is giving some service. It's really, you really made it for your mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. truly is my mom. We were riding in a car along a road in Pennsylvania, which is beautiful, but gets boring very, very quickly, and saw her going back and forth on the phone with clients, and I felt like there had to be a better way. So after a bunch of research to try to find something out there that would help her already, none of the things I was quite happy with. So built Acuity for her, and then also opened up signups online at the same time because I was actually hoping it would lead into a web development company that I had on the side too. And that part didn't work out so well, but the scheduling part did. So all throughout this, I had my day job with the government, which was completely different, and then Acuity on the side for my mom.
It's a beautiful story.
You know, it grew from her to now, to now tens of thousands of other businesses. But it really started with her. So it was a single customer at the start of it. And it has grown to be much more than that. But it is, I'm really thankful to have one person to think about because it did did definitely help focus things from the very beginning. But yeah, it's changed plenty of times over that until actually in 2013, I had to make the choice between that government job that I truly loved and taking Acuity full time. And obviously, I took Acuity full time, and it's been fun ever since then.
Wow. Who are your customers today? And how did you figure out who your customers are and who you should focus on?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's something that has been interesting since it's changed over time, too. It's sort of it's gone from, you know, somebody specifically like my mom to being amazed about how many different people, from babysitters to dog walkers to, you know, people just trying to take meetings, to now trying to focus again back more on the core of where we came from, businesses whose day to day revolves around appointments. So people like coaches, health and wellness, people who, you know, people from like guidance counselors, lawyers, all of those types of people who day to day revolves around appointments. One of the amazing things that we've learned, though, is that it's not so much the type of business that is what we're interested in, but how somebody operates their business. Oh. There's an amazing overlap between somebody like a lactation consultant and a yoga teacher. Pretty different types of people, but how they operate is roughly similar. You do a lot of classes, group events with one-on-one sessions mixed in there, from going to people's houses to having them come to your office. And the operation of the business is probably the most important part, it turns out, in our customers, not necessarily what the business is, because within industries, there's many different ways that just the people within the same industry actually run their business. So that's been an interesting one to learn and one that we're trying to focus on even more.
Do you have any more characteristics that you see, you know, further than just the way they operate, but special kind of people that are more technology, less technology?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so without a doubt, we are not focused on large companies. So although we have many enterprises that work with us, our focus is usually people who have businesses that have less than 10 employees and whose day-to-day revolves around appointments. Just because we're specifically not looking to have, you know, many, like a few small but large paying customers. And we're actually not suited right now to do a lot of, you know, the enterprise type of compliance, although we have many, many enterprises that do. That's a whole nother can of worms that we just don't want to get into, so we can focus on the small businesses. And we don't want to focus on people whose day to day, you know, they do a couple of appointments here and there. You know, if you're mostly, say, I don't know, a software developer and you need to take, you know, the occasional meeting with a customer maybe a couple of times a month, Acuity is not right for you. That's something where, you know, Acuity is not going to be the center of your day. So we're not looking for somebody like that as a customer so much. But if your day revolves around your calendar, those are the types of customers we're looking for. As far as technology goes, we run the gamut between there. So we have really fantastic support. And a lot of that it's been interesting to see over time that as the software gets easier to use, that the baseline technology needs for people are a little bit lower, so that people who have barely any experience with technology can get into it. However, you still need to be comfortable enough to, say, direct your clients to book appointments online, and that takes a more less than like a sophistication with technology. It requires like a comfort and a trust in technology. So yeah, so that's, I think it's more of a personality trait than anything with training as far as that goes.
Gavin, can you please tell me a bit about your concept or beliefs in the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customers, and give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus?
Yeah, so it's been, I think one of the things that I was most successful at the beginning was in that story from Acuity started like 2006, and then it took until 2013 for me to take it full time. But in that period, Acuity grew and grew and grew, whether I wanted it to or not. And it grew because I was the only person there. And during that time, too, I was incredibly scared, because I would see news stories come out in TechCrunch about competitors popping up and competitors with millions and millions and millions in funding. And as a solo person on your own, you know, trudging along, working slowly and methodically, you know, without having to have all day on it. That's an incredibly scary thing. But now Acuity has been around long enough that those competitors with millions in funding have disappeared. And I truly think that's because I was the one person on there and I was the one person closest to the customers. I was reading all of the support emails and I understood all of the frustrations that people had and all of the requests and really what people were looking to do. And because of that closeness to the customer, I was able to build Acuity into something that they truly wanted and something really focused. And that is the reason that we succeeded. And that's the reason that I was sort of forced to make the decision to take it full time. So as we've grown now from, you know, a time when it was just me to now 25 people, I've tried to keep that as something, you know, core to the business of trying to stay close and have a very tight feedback loop, especially from customer support and along with several different balancing sources of information like UX interviews and surveys and a bunch of other sources, just that we have a very holistic picture of who our customer is, what they're looking for, and can quickly take anything and react to it. So the whole company is really centered around that and really customer support driven, because those are the people on the front lines. And those are the people, like, if we can really understand our customer better than anybody else, that's what's going to help us succeed and support them even better. And I think that's what helped Acuity succeed when it was just me with $0 in funding, trouncing competitors who had, you know, multiple millions of dollars in funding.
Sure.
So I think with any startup going in, that is the single biggest thing, is stay close, stay and listen to your customers. And we've done a lot of tools internally to try to help support that, and hasn't been the most, you know, technically advanced. It's more of the idea of listening and recording and identifying trends and really trying to get to the root of what people want and trying to figure out the most important things that fit with the product vision too.
It sounds so right. I know you have a lot of successes, and we will talk about it in a minute, but I want to ask you about your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most.
Oh, man. You know, I think that was when, just before 2013, when Acuity was growing and growing and growing. And it was, I was still had my full-time job with the government and I was working on Acuity part-time. And I truly, like, I'm really, really lucky because I love my day job. It was something unique. It was something technical, and Acuity really balanced it. And I was trying to keep both of those. And I really didn't want to leave my day job for Acuity. And I was happy enough with what Acuity was doing that I didn't want to necessarily, you know, end that either. So I tried to straddle both sides. And I, to try to help things along, I hired, my very first hire was done before I left my government job. And I hired somebody for customer support to try to help customers.
Okay.
But it wasn't successful. Like, if you try to, what I found was I hired somebody and I wasn't around during the day. I wasn't able to properly train them. I wasn't able to respond to things. And hiring somebody for customer support doesn't mean that you have less work. It just means now you have more time to focus on, you know, the noisier things and taking out some of those things. So one of those biggest failures was, you know, trying to balance both sides without diving fully into Acuity. And it just ended up being a lot more work with somebody in support who wasn't properly trained, and then just having to, you know, deal with a couple more mishaps from that and trying to help them get better. And at the same time, I still had a lot of improvements and things to do. So if I were to go back, I think that's one of those things that I would change. Instead of, you know, trying to take it halfway and balance both of those things, I really should have just from the very beginning then dove into Acuity full time. And because you can't really, you know, outsource your customer support side. You can't really outsource that contact with customers. And that's essentially what I was doing with that person, since I wasn't there to respond to things and I wasn't there to train them properly. So I would have changed that if I were to go back.
And now I want the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus, or something that you did right about approaching your customers.
To be honest, just not dying. Acuity is definitely one of those stories that has been slow in the running. And I think one of the things that I'm most happy about is all the things that I didn't do to, all the areas where we get approached by people about partnerships, we get approached with people about ideas and everything else, and staying true and focused to the company. And during that period of time where Acuity was just me, and like I mentioned before, there were all these competitors with millions in funding. To be honest, that to me, that is the thing that I'm happy about, is to see over time all of these things that were, you know, really scary business developments at the time turn out to be complete non-issues. We see large competitors, you know, releasing features, or large companies like Groupon at the time and Square and all of these people purchasing and building scheduling programs. And it turns out to be complete non-issues that have had zero impact on our business. If anything else, it ended up growing. And I think that success really did come from just staying honest to ourselves, not getting distracted by things that were away from the core of our business. And that success is like that slow growth over time. And that slow really comes from a series of good decisions and a series of decisions really rooted in our customers. So. It doesn't sound very dramatic, but to me, it's a very happy thing, yeah.
No, it is. I think it is. And I just wanted to say that what you're talking about, you know, it sounds like whether you decided strategically about it or you just felt this is the right thing to do, that you were really focusing all the time. And I believe that once you understand where you should focus, then you shouldn't look, you should know what your competitors are doing, but it's not this the story. The story is to really focus on the right place for you and go there. And I myself, when I was in charge of so many businesses, I always knew that once we understood where we are, where the competitors, and especially where the customers are, you should just focus on that and it will work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of those things that I did very unintentionally at first, but then looking back, and I think that's one of those things that as a company grows, like when it's just you and it's just a couple of people, those unintentional things that you do and is just part of your nature just happen and they can succeed that way. But as you grow the company and you go beyond 5 to 10 to more people than that, you need to take a lot of those things that you internally do and internally made you successful at the very beginning and push those out to make sure that it's something that's verbally stated and clear to everybody around you that these are the things that we truly care about, that we do care about our customer. As obvious as those things are, when the company grows, it's easy to dilute what you're feeling.
So
what you're saying is very true, and it's definitely even more important as you grow.
And I would like you to recommend the best or most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing, and sales. And I want to say, you know, there's so many technological tools out there. And what I'm looking for is not another one to add to the list, but the one that the successful entrepreneurs really using, and it works for them. So it will probably work for some other entrepreneurs out there.
Yeah, so for us, as far as sales and marketing, a lot of our tools are very automated. But I think one of the things that feeds into this the most is when we do our customer research interviews, we're able to figure out a little bit more about what really drives people even more than we get from our support and types of things. And we're able to see their personality and their wording and everything else. So to try to support that, we do lots and lots of user interviews for Acuity, and we actually use Acuity to help drive them. So we have Acuity integrated with GoToMeetings, so people get an automated email after they sign up, a small percentage that says, hey, you want to get a $100 Amazon gift card, sign up here, and it brings them to a link for Acuity that they can sign up for an interview. We automatically collect a lot of their information through there. It schedules a video conference inside of GoToMeeting, and then gives them a link that they can view it and everything else. And that's all handled automatically. So our UX folks can just show up at the time of the meeting and take the chat and record it too. And we're able to share that throughout the company. And that helps inform everything we do. And it's really just the words of the customer that have helped us shape our marketing the best with that.
So you're actually talking about the combination between Acuity and GoToMeeting or something similar to that.
Yeah, exactly. Combining those two together has helped take something with like wrangling and the back and forth of a customer that's helped to be automated away with Acuity. And then integrating that with GoToMeeting has helped take what used to be a very manual process for us of generating the meeting link and everything else and helped to automate it a lot. So we can just really just show up and have these, you know, these amazing customers, qualified customers just dropped into our laps that we can chat with and inform everything with the product and marketing.
Great. And was there any person? It can be a service provider, like mentor, consultant, or it can also be a book that impact your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well.
That's such an interesting question, too, because there's been so many things I think that have helped inform that side of me. I think there's been a couple of things. Just personally, it's just been experience using other products. The ones that I find myself most loyal to are the ones that have both the best customer experience in app and the ones with the best customer support to help retain me, too, in those like times of struggle with it. And listening to the customers. And I think actually the biggest mentors have been talking to some of the earliest customers. I became friends with a couple of them and just chatting with them. And one of them was a business owner who was with me in New York City. And I had chatted with him a couple of times, and he was very honest with me in a lot of conversations, and I think that helped really inform me. And one of them, he was very honest and said, like, look, you really did not have the best product when we were looking for our things. What we loved most was that it felt like we had a direct line to the owner and the product developer. And that went, I went, wow, holy crap. Like, I guess that's true. Like, Acuity at the time early on was not very good. It was really because of me as the person behind it. And that's something that I had to keep. So I think those early customers were really like the mentors that helped drive Acuity later on too.
You're talking about during the whole conversation, which is very unique and they love it a lot. You're talking about something that really happened to you with Acuity, perhaps because you didn't really sit and plan for days and months what will be your entrepreneurial business, but it just came to you through your mom and through trying to help her. However, I want to try and ask you whether there was some outside impact, whether a book or a person or something from outside that really impacts you in what you do inside Acuity.
So I think one of my favorite books actually has been Derek Sivers' book. Oh, gosh, I forget the name of it. I'll get it to you afterwards. But one of the themes from his book is being very honest with yourself about what you truly want in your business, whether that's actually making revenue or being happy or just, you know, building something. And a lot of the people that you talk to, they have very idealized things like, oh, I want to help make the world a better place or anything else, or, oh, I want to make a lot of money. But often what people truly want is to be known and have recognition or have some sense of power, or sometimes just truly make a lot of money and not necessarily, you know, make the world a better place. And I think that was very eye-opening to me, too, like to be truly honest about what you want in your business. And to me, it's not, you know, growing to be the biggest thing. And I'm also, to be honest, too, not somebody that's like make the world a better place, although that's nice, definitely something that I care about. It's that I want to be personally happy and I want to feel happy throughout this. And I think to feel happy, I have to be working with people that are happy and that I really get along with, and I have to be in a happy workplace, and I also have to have happy customers too. So a lot of that has helped inform decisions too, where we've said no to a lot of things. And actually the enterprise that I mentioned before saying no to is really driven by that, because I'm not happy dealing with one big customer who has lots of big demands. I like having many, many small people where we can think about the whole and be completely comfortable saying no to one person if it means, you know, sticking more to the product vision, and feel very comfortable with that, because that's to me, that's what makes me the happiest, even if it might not bring the most revenue.
It's a beautiful answer and I love it, and I love the whole attitude, which is very unique, I must say. You know, a lot of things are affecting our success, but I want to ask you, what is the most important factor, the one factor that really affected your success? What is your key success factor?
Ooh, I think just focus over the long term. If I had decided to, you know, build Acuity quickly and try to grow it as fast as possible, it probably would not have been successful. And if I had tried to do it slowly, but without, you know, focusing on it so much, it also would not have been successful. You know, now Acuity has been around for over 10 years and it is successful, but it's only been really growing and successful in the last few years. And it's because in those very beginning years, it was a lot about learning and improving and iterating and everything else. And I think that being able to focus and say no to a lot of the distractions around when different things come up, when features come up, or especially in the technology space, when a lot more interesting technologies come up, it's not the technology that a customer likes, it's how it solves their problem. And saying no to a lot of those really shiny things, you know, it's amazing how many times you talk to technical people and they're like, oh yeah, we got to rewrite it with blah, 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 this new technology, and it'll be such a better user experience and blah, blah, blah. And truly, it's not. It's the thing, it's what you're creating and what you're offering and how it's like refined in all the small areas and how smoothly it works for somebody that's going to change their day. And it's that focus over the long term and learning over the long term and seeing those trends over time that matters. And I think Acuity would not be successful if it wasn't for having that focus over now a decade.
I would like to end the questions and ask you, what is the best way to contact you and to connect with you for any of our listeners that really want to be in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to connect will be through, I'll set up a link right after this,
sure.
acuityscheduling.com/reach. That's A-C-U-I-T-Y scheduling.com/reach. And on there, you'll be able to, I'll post my contact information if anybody wants to get in touch. And we'll also put a special link to get an extended 45-day trial instead of our normal 14-day trial there. Wow. At acuityscheduling.com/reach.
As we talked about before, I am going to try and use it. So I think it's a great opportunity, and thank you for that. And Gavin, I would like to thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation, and it was special and different, and I really want to thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.